Well, today's Shabbat message is about family. Mishpacha, Hebrew, mishpacha, family. Today's message is about togetherness. And I'm going to tell you why I decided to talk about family and being together as a family this morning. Because our Torah portion this morning is Joseph being reunited with his brothers. Joseph revealing himself to them. And this was actually a very significant thing that now all of the representatives of Israel are together, the sons of Jacob. They're all now together and eventually unified together. So this is really a very significant event that happens there. And our Haftarah portion this morning from Ezekiel, we have the prophetic words of God reuniting the Jewish people that were scattered around the world. And so now there is the reunion and the coming together of the scattered. And Ezekiel talks about how in the last days, the end of days, they're going to be living in a society, which is very significant for us, where there's going to be one kingdom and one king. And we know who that king is. That is King Messiah Yeshua. So this is my first scripture this morning from Ezekiel, and we'll read those words. Then say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations, wherever they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over all of them, over them all. A lot of Jewish people today don't realize that. They don't understand it. They think this is, you know, it has nothing to do with them. One day, the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, we are going to finally acknowledge that we are reunited as one family, as one nation in one kingdom, and it's going to be Messiah that is going to be the king over all of us, over all of us. And that's going to be really an exciting time. So both the Torah and the Haftarah is this reunification of Israel. Because the first is the 12 sons of Jacob coming back together, the tribes, the sons were the leaders and the heads representing the 12 tribes. And then the second is the people themselves coming together, scattered around the world, coming back together, coming as one big family eventually. And again, like I said, this is in the end of days. It's starting to happen now a little bit. We see more and more Jewish people moving to Israel. We see more and more Jewish believers that are moving to Israel. But now we know that in the end of days, this is going to be an event that no one would really expect. We understand it. We're waiting for it. We know what the scriptures say, but the rest of the world, they really don't have a clue of what's going on, and it is going to be one kingdom. Let me just mention, and I'm going to throw it out here, it is so sad that the vote against the United States moving their embassy to Jerusalem and recognizing Jerusalem as the sovereign capital of Israel. The vote in the UN was 128 against it, and only 9 nations voted for it. A sad, sad thing. But you know what? As our president said, we can have our capital anywhere we want. And you know what? God says, I can have my capital anywhere I want. And God says, and it's going to be one kingdom, and all those nations that voted against the 128, for whatever reasons, political reasons, monetary reasons, I don't care, they're all going to realize one day that there is one kingdom, and it's going to be God's kingdom, and Messiah Yeshua is going to be the king over all of the earth. Amen? All right, now I'm going to get back to my message. And also, besides the Torah portion and the Haftarah portion dealing about family and coming together, we are now in this season of unification or reunification right now. We just went through Hanukkah. A lot of people got together with family and friends, and we celebrated Hanukkah. And now this coming few days, people are celebrating the body of Messiah, the rest of the body of Messiah. Many of them are celebrating Christmas as what they, you know, allegedly is, but it isn't, the birth of Messiah Yeshua, but they celebrated. And so during Christmas, people are going to get together. Families are going to get together. This is a season of families getting together this month, whatever you are celebrating it. And let me say that, because every year I get people that will ask me, at least one person, maybe a couple of people, every year they'll come up to me and say, "Rabbi, I was invited to the office Christmas party," or my family that don't celebrate Hanukkah, they celebrate Christmas, they invited us to the family Christmas party. What should I do? And I tell them, go. And sometimes they're a little shocked, but I'm saying that this morning because I want people to understand it. You go, you have a good time, you enjoy your friends and family, you schmooze around, you let people see that you're a person that is not crazy because you're celebrating Hanukkah, but you are a person that loves family and friends, and you go and you enjoy. And don't go around crabby with like you're sucking on a lemon because you're here, it's Christmas, and I don't want to do. Just go and have a good time and enjoy the people that are there, and go for the family, and go for the workforce, and go for the friends, even if you just do that. But enjoy it, okay? So here we are at our season of togetherness, of families, of reunification for many people, because sometimes it's the only time that people get together as family is this time of the year. And so through Messiah Yeshua, we are bound together. So you have your family, you have your physical family, but you have your spiritual family also. And the body of Messiah should be one big family. Many times, the body of Messiah, we argue, we have differences, we do this, we do that, but it's just like a family, isn't it? I don't know about everybody else's families, but I know in Jewish families, we're always complaining and always arguing, and this one doesn't talk to that one, and this cousin talked to them, and who are you sitting at my wedding table? I don't want to sit there with them, and where are you sitting these people? That's how Jewish families are. But the thing is, so families argue and quarrel and have differences, but we are family when it comes down to it. And so the body of Messiah, we should have the basic theological agreements on these things and as family. But it is through Messiah Yeshua that we are bound together. Each and every one of us, Jew and Gentile, together. It's something before Yeshua shed his blood, it was unheard of in the Jewish community, and it was unheard of certainly in the Gentile communities, that Jew and Gentile would come together. Even though God spoke about this in the prophets, in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament, he talked about Jew and Gentile coming together. He talked about the nations coming together. But it was unheard of in the people's minds, and many of them even in their hearts. But we are bound together through Messiah Yeshua, and we all have access to the Father by a common Father, our Father in heaven, and by one Spirit. Let's look at a couple of scriptures here. Rav Shaul wrote these to the Corinthians and the Ephesians. He wrote this in his letters to them. And then we'll go on. For by one Spirit we are all immersed in one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. And in Ephesians, he said to them, there is one body and one spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling. So we are called, we are a body, we are unified, and we all have a calling. And we all have actually in one calling. And that great calling is to help to build the body of Messiah, to tell the world of who God is and who Messiah is. That is one of the callings, and it really is a great calling. In the physical, people become family when they are connected to the same Father. And in the spiritual, how much more when we all have one Father in heaven? You see, if in the physical it's true, certainly we should understand if we all have one Father, as Shaul says, certainly if we have one Messiah, certainly if we have one Spirit, one Ruach, certainly that has wooed us and has called us and has guided us to the truth of our salvation, certainly we must consider ourselves to be family. And so I want to narrow it down this morning to our congregation, because we are one family with one Father, one Messiah, one Spirit. We have one calling here. We should have one calling that is the greatest of the callings. And that actually was a calling that even Shaul gave to the Gentiles, but they just didn't listen to it. When he said the gospel, the good news of Messiah is to go to the Jew first and then the Gentile. We have picked up that, and we are going where no man has ever gone for 1900 years. We are going where the church has not gone. God has allowed us to, in a sense, be resurrected as a movement that existed in the first century as Jewish believers that followed Yeshua. And we are now called, Jew and Gentile, to come together to bring the good news of Yeshua to God's Jewish people. And that is the great, great calling that Shaul placed before the Gentiles. And so, praise God, this is our calling. And so here we are, and we are a big family. I want to consider we are a big family. Certainly our members, we are a family together. And I know one thing, and it's natural, that cliques are natural. You know, after services, people have this tendency to gravitate towards certain people. You tend to gravitate to others that have similar likes or similar dislikes, or you have similar family situations because you have kids that are the same age as the other people there, or you have the same hobbies, the same interests. Maybe you work in the same job field. And so people, it's natural that cliques will happen. But cliques is certainly, it can be a little bit of a negative connotation, because a clique becomes almost like an exclusive thing that you shut everyone out so that you could only be with certain people. But it is a natural thing where people get together because of these things that we have in common. But unless we expand our tunnel vision as a family, too many good people are going to remain to be strangers and foreigners. I'll use the biblical terms here. Strangers and foreigners. You see, because there are good people in this congregation that maybe you know these people, but you don't know these people. And maybe you know these people, but you don't know these people. You know, sometimes when we, you know, when we have, you know, when people, they come to our, you know, they're interested in becoming a member of Kol Mashiach, and then they come to our membership, prospective membership class. And one of the things is that, you know, we if you are serious about becoming a member and you have the same calling that we have the calling, and that's very important, by the way, to have the calling that we have to be a member. But that you come and we do an interview. You come, you know, you come into the principal's office here and people don't have to worry about that. Diana and I, we just sit down, we want to get to know you, because sometimes we don't always know people. Or sometimes we think we know people, and then we find out interesting things as we ask questions, as we talk about things. And I know sometimes people will say, will mention, oh, so-and-so, they just became a member last week, and they go, who is that? Oh, they've been coming for 8 months. I don't know who they are. You know why? Because you're busy with your little group of people. See, so I'm not looking for everyone to be a social director and go around and meet everyone every week, but we need to realize we need to get to know people here. If you see people that have been coming for a while and you don't know them because your group of friends or these people over here, maybe it's time to just meet these people and find out who they are. You know why I say this? Because there are people that have talents and callings and gifts that you don't know about. And you know how I say that? Why I say that? Because we find out that people have talents and gifts and callings that we don't even know about until we sit down with them and talk to them for a little while in the membership interview. And so it's true with everyone. We want to encourage people to get to know people. You don't have to be their best buddy. You don't have to spend every minute of Kiddush after service with them every week. But at least get to know people. At least get to know who they are. Because we do have some great people in here. And I want everyone to get to know everyone else. All right? The ones that aren't that great, don't worry about it. You know? Kol Mashiach should be a place that we go to worship, but we come together in worship. You see, and so we come together. It's not just a matter of we come every week and we do this and we do that and we do this. But the thing is, it's a place where we can really be involved worshiping together. And it's a dynamic, dynamic thing for us all to come and worship together and to hear the word together and to respond to that together. It's a dynamic, spiritual dynamic that no one can really explain, but it's true. And so when we come together in one unity, in one accord, as it said in the Brit Hadashah, where they all came together in one accord, it's something that's really dynamic, where the Spirit will start flowing, where God's presence can really be felt. And it's not because of me. It's not because of what I'm saying or teaching or whatever. It's not because of the liturgy. It's not because of any of the components. It's because we are together and there is a great air where the Spirit is just, it can be real heavy. It can get heavy in here. And the presence of God, who is always here, by the way, because He's everywhere. And the Spirit of God is everywhere. But when we're all together in unity, it has a great, great effect on what we do today, coming together in worship, not just coming together to worship, but coming together in worship. And worship isn't just singing the songs, but it can be speaking it to your heart, the liturgy. It can be coming and in prayer, acknowledging who God is, hearing the word and letting the word go to your heart. That's all part of worship. Now, on a little side thing here, and I have to say this to have a little bit of balance here, because there are some people that just love to find out dirt about people. Can I hear an amen? There are people, and it's almost like, what dirt did you find out this week? I'll tell you the dirt that I know. What did you find out about that person? How did you find out about that? Sometimes people just love to find out dirt. They don't just love to, they love to find out dirt. If we only spent that kind of energy to find the good, to find the gold, not the dirt, but to find the gold, to find the positive things that we spend. Sometimes people, they spend too much energy to find out about this and that and this and that. Use that energy for good. And so we should do that. We should find out about people's talents and good attributes about people. And maybe lay down the dirt a little bit sometimes. You know, we know that dirt flies all around the place because dirt is in families. It's part of living. It's part of us. It's even part of the body of Messiah. But lay it down for a while. You know what? Use your energy in some better areas for that. I just had to bring that out this morning while we're talking about togetherness and family. And this can go both ways. Some people, they only stay with certain people or whatever. We have sometimes people, and we've spoken to people about this on numerous occasions. There are some people that run out the door as soon as services are over, for whatever reason. They're every week. They run out the door. And sometimes those people, one of the problems they will have is a complaint. Or maybe I don't see them anymore. And then maybe we meet them somewhere in town, somewhere in Publix or wherever. Hey, we haven't seen you in a while. Well, you know. I don't really know. People really weren't friendly to me. I don't really know. I don't know anyone. Weren't you one of those people that run out the door right away? Maybe you should just stick around a little bit. Yeah, maybe. And sometimes they say, maybe you're right, and they do it. And all of a sudden, they realize, oh, there are actual people here that I like, and there are people here. We can be a family. We can really schmooze, and we can get together and have a good time. But if you run out the door every week right after services, you know what? You're doing yourself a disservice. Because it's all part of the whole experience that God wants us to be. Because fellowship is just as important as what goes on until 12 o'clock. It is just as important. You don't know who you're going to meet. You don't know who's going to speak into your life. Or maybe you can speak into someone else's life. You don't know what's going to happen when God puts people together. You just don't know. And so if you run out the door, you're not giving God the opportunity to do his work when we finish up at 12 o'clock. And I understand sometimes people have, you know, I got to go away. I had an appointment. I had this. We understand that. But sometimes people every week, they're out the door. You know, it's like, look, you know, people, this isn't like you go to work and you punch the time clock. I went to services, bing, bing, God, I went to services, chung, chung, and then you leave. See, God, I went to services every week. That's dead works. It has become dead works. You're only coming so that God sees that you are coming one day to worship with him. That doesn't happen that way. Kol Mashiach. And I'll use Kol Mashiach. I can say God's house, any God's house, anywhere, house of worship, but Kol Mashiach. At Kol Mashiach, there is always a continuous building process going on here. It is continuous. It is always continuous. The basics, the foundation, remain the same. But the shifting, the flowing, the day-to-day changes, the different people, the situations that are going on, they are changing. And believe me, they're changing all the time. And so from day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month, year-to-year, we have changes. But the foundation of Kol Mashiach is the same foundation year after year. The foundation has been laid by God, and we want to keep that foundation undisturbed. And whatever goes on from the foundation up, we'll let the Lord take care of it and coordinate it, but it is always shifting and always changing. So that's why I say it's a continuous building project that's going on here. If you're looking to buy a house, and you're looking at some houses in an area, and you go to one of the houses and you go to the house and you say, well, we're going to get an inspector to come in and inspect the house. And the inspector comes back to you and he says, you know what? We find out there's a big crack in the foundation of this house. What are you going to do? You're going to move on and look at another house. You don't want the headache. You don't want to deal with a foundational structure in that house. Trust me, you're not going to want it. So you move on and you look at other houses. Oh, but honey, I love the curtains that were in that house. But it looks so, oh, the kitchen, the appliances were so nice. But honey, there's a 3-inch, 40-foot crevice in the foundation. But honey, the kitchen is so, I love the colors of the cabinets. You're not going to do that. You're going to say, it's got a bad foundation. And this is the same thing in God's house. It doesn't matter. We try to make it a good experience. We want people to have a good experience. We want to have good music. We want to have good messages. We want people to have a good time. We want people to walk out feeling better than when they came in. We want people to do that. But we're not going to do that at the expense of the foundation. You have to understand that. And so we know that any house of worship worth its weight in anything, worth its weight in salt, it's an idiom, by the way, if you came to my, it's, if you were at the conference. Okay, so any house of worship that's worth its weight in anything, they have to have a good foundation. The foundation being the Word of God, the heart of God. It has to have a good foundation. It has to be solid. The house has a solid foundation built on the Word of God and the will of God and the heart of God. And for us, where Yeshua is accepted and loved and waited for, that must be in the body of Messiah, it must be a foundational thing. Because Yeshua, it says he is the chief cornerstone. Now, here's the reality, and it's a sad reality. Because when that, I didn't have it up here, but when that was spoken in the Tanakh, prophetically, that he would be the chief cornerstone, it's one of the Psalms of Ascent, that he would be the chief cornerstone, it means that he is the chief cornerstone of the faith of the Jewish people. He is the chief cornerstone of everything that stands for good and godly in the Jewish faith. But the chief cornerstone was rejected, it says. We allow him to be our chief cornerstone. And we build up from the foundation, up from that. This is really the difference. And like I said earlier, some people are going to understand, he was their chief cornerstone all the time. In traditional synagogues around the world, he wants to be the chief cornerstone. He wants them to do the right things. He wants them to do the godly things, but they have rejected that cornerstone, and their building is just not a good, solid building with life in it, with the Spirit really flowing in it. God's Spirit is there. God is there. They're desperately trying to get in, and they're trying to just keep him to the side. Some of them are trying to push him out. But he is our chief cornerstone, and we recognize that. So here we are, this great family. We never deviate from God's blueprints. Every building has a blueprint because it's built from the blueprints that you get from the architecture. God gave us the blueprints. He laid the foundation. Yeshua is the cornerstone. And then we go from there with God allowing to lead us. And within that building, here we are in our home. We are a family, just like every family should have a home. We are a family that has a home. Are we perfect? No. Am I perfect? No. Do any of you have a family that's perfect? Raise your hand. Want to see the liar. Dean said he has the perfect, okay. Come on up here, Dean. No, that's all right, I'm not going to. But I know he said that kidding around because he knows it's true. None of us have perfect families, none of us. But we are and should be family. And sometimes we need to do something that's really a very Jewish concept that has been lost over the years, that we need to sometimes just agree on the common things. And it's okay to have disagreements. And we understand that, and we live with that, and we try to talk to each other about these things and teach each other about those things. But we live with families that there are disagreements, but we are family, and we do that. In the physical world, Kol Mashiach, you know, we were blessed, for some of you that are maybe new here, or you haven't been to our membership class and heard about it. We are mortgage-free. I think we became mortgage-free after our sixth year that we built this building. We are mortgage-free. However, in the spiritual world, God still owns this place. We don't own it. In the physical world, it's ours. The bank doesn't own it. It is ours. But in the spiritual world, it's God's. He owns it. Mortgage or no mortgage. He is the head of this family. The father is always to be the head of the family. He is our father. He's the head of this family. He is the head of our house. Of our house. That's the way it is. That's the way it should be. My last scripture, Psalm 127. I didn't have a lot of scriptures today for my message. 127, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. That's what I'm talking about the cornerstone. If they start building it, they're disregarding that cornerstone. They're building it in vain. People are never going to be happy. People are never going to be satisfied. People aren't going to stay. It's just not going to happen that way. And so the Lord builds the house. You know what? We need to acknowledge that the Lord has built this house and that we are family. And we have to start living it as family, at least in our congregation, and then let it spread out to the rest of the body of Messiah. I have visions for Kol Mashiach. We discuss, and we have our board meetings, and we have our membership meeting once a year. We discuss about vision. We discuss what we're going to do. We discuss on what's going to happen down the line. Maybe you have visions in your own head, what you think should happen at Kol Mashiach, maybe, you have visions of what you think you should do as an individual, what you should do in your family. But the thing is, it's not my vision, it's not the board's vision, it's not the membership vision, it's not you as a person, your vision, even for your family that counts. What truly counts is what God has in store for each and every one of us. And that's the way it should be. And really, I say, that's the way it has to be. Otherwise, we're doing all this in vain, as Psalm 127 said. Each and every one of us. So, you know, this could have been maybe a good end of the year or beginning of the year message. But because we had the family situations and the Torah portion and the Haftarah portion, and we just came out of Hanukkah, and now Christmas is coming up this week. I just felt it was a good time to talk about these things this morning. So hopefully, people are going to understand that these are good things for us to do, and they can be exciting things for your life if you just allow the things that I talked about this morning, allow them to really permeate into your life, both on a physical and spiritual level. It'll be good for you. It'll be good for the congregation. It'll be good for your families. It'll be good for everyone. So please, just try to take a little bit of this home with you today, and just do some things and allow your heart to be changed after today. Okay. So Shabbat Shalom, everyone, and we hope that everyone has a wonderful holiday time.